Digital Media Insider, Episode 7, February 12, 2007. Welcome to Digital Media Insider from O'Reilly.com. On our website, we explore the future of audio, video, and photography to help you get more creative with technology. I'm David Bettino, and I edit the audio section of the site. This week, we'll talk about expression, the soul of music. Consider this hideous sound. That was a sawtooth wave played with an absolute minimum of expression by Jim Aiken for our article, Choosing and Using MIDI Controllers. Now listen to what happens as Jim uses MIDI to shape the sound. You'll hear the exact same notes, but now they're altered with pitch bend, vibrato, portamento, an attack envelope, and low-pass filtering. Jim also adds a detuned second oscillator, reverb, and a sub-octave. The sound is starting to get more interesting. To take it to the next level, though, we'll have to work on the phrasing and dynamics. One of the best ways to do that is to imagine you're a trumpet player and need to breathe between notes. Here's Matt Traum of Patchman Music playing another sawtooth wave. This one comes out of a Krumar Electronic Valve Instrument, or EVI. Matt's breath controls the filter. The harder he blows, the brighter the sound gets. And his thumb controls pitch, producing what he calls human-quality vibrato. Matt Traum of Patchman Music playing Bridge Over Troubled Water on the Krumar EVI. Again, that was a single sawtooth oscillator. All the expressive swells, bends, and phrasing came from Matt. He notes that the rich sound is also due to the old analog chips the instrument uses, Curtis and SSM filters and oscillators from the late 70s. The thing to remember, Matt told me, is that these true analog circuits are being controlled continuously in real time by the player. It is never static with a wind controller, as is often the case with keyboard controllers. The filter and the pitch of the oscillator are always changing, since they are directly linked to the controls of the EVI. When this ever-changing sound is then put through a delay or reverb, the timbre can very quickly thicken up as the sound builds upon itself. Matt continues, "This sound is quite simple, yet so expressive. This one timbre is so desirable that I still take my 27-year-old Krumar to gigs." Matt also sells reconditioned Krumar EVIs on his site. See the show notes for links. Wind controllers work well with modern synthesizers, too. Here Matt plays two sounds he created on a Yamaha VL70M. The VL70M is a physical modeling synth. It uses mathematical models of instruments to recreate the way the instruments respond to the player's breath. Listen to the way the sound reacts in this synthesized saxophone and flute. I've been thinking about wind controllers since bumping into Clay Connor at the NAMM show. He was in the Akai booth demonstrating the EWI 4000S, a clarinet-shaped wind controller. EWI stands for Electronic Woodwind Instrument. Here he uses an EWI to trigger the NNXT sampler and propeller head reason. Again, notice the swells, pitch bends, and phrasing. Clay Connor also sent me this lovely Pat Metheny piece. Here the solo voice comes from the Akai EWV-2000 sound module, a two-oscillator analog synth. Clay Connor on the Akai EVI-1000 controller and EWV-2000 synth. You can learn more about the Akai controllers at Clay's site, ewi-evi.com. See the show notes for links. Although it helps to think like a wind player, you can also get expressive performances out of a standard MIDI keyboard. Here are two examples played on Gary Garriton's new software string synthesizers. The instruments are based on samples, but use a clever technique called harmonic alignment to morph the samples together as the player alters the MIDI input by, say, playing louder or moving knobs or sliders. Here's Giorgio Tomasini playing the Garriton cello from a keyboard in real time. And here, Fabio Vincentini performs on the Garriton Software Stradivarius, also via MIDI keyboard. For more on Gary Garriton's software instruments, see our article, Gary Garriton, A Personal Orchestra for Everyone, at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. We also spoke with a programmer who's tackling the phrasing challenge from a different perspective. Eric Lindemann created a massive database of the ways orchestral musicians transition from note to note, and then used that database to drive a software synthesizer. When MIDI notes come in, the program grabs expressive little bits of sound and splices them together. With a pure sampling approach that could take hundreds of gigabytes, Lindemann's Sinful Orchestra uses just 32 megabytes. Here it is, playing a Beethoven string quartet. And here's the Sinful Orchestra playing Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. For the details behind the sinful approach, see our article, The Sinful Orchestra, Better Music Through Database Splicing, at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. Another inventor who's done a lot of work transforming MIDI input into expressive output is Stephen Kay. Kay developed Karma, the K-algorithmic real-time music architecture, after getting bored by basic keyboard arpeggiators. Arpeggiators spit out a metronomic stream of notes when you hold down a chord. With Karma, you can transform a simple chord into an expressive harp glissando, like this. Karma's manual advance feature is also surprisingly expressive. In the following example, Kay plays simple three-note chords with his left hand while rolling the fingers of his right hand on the keys above. The Karma software remaps the left-hand notes to musically appropriate values and triggers them at the rhythm and level set by the right hand. That allows you to concentrate on rhythm and dynamics without worrying about hitting complex chord shapes. You can read more about the instrument Stephen Kay was playing, the Korg Oasis, in our article, Inside a Luxury Synth, Creating the Linux-Powered Korg Oasis. When I interviewed him for my book, I asked Kay how far he thought artificial intelligence could go in remapping a musician's input. We're already hearing that programs like GarageBand can make a musician out of anyone. Is it true?
I mean, it sounds like a good idea, but I'm not sure that people really want their tools to think for them, because then you get into that whole, well, it's not really music, I just pushed a button and, you know, it created stuff. It's a very fine line to walk, because, you know, it goes along with that Apple GarageBand thing. It's like anybody can be a musician. I guess that's the sort of fine line for marketing, is what's the degree of control to give the user? Obviously you could probably take GarageBand and write another layer for it where you would press one button and it would actually go randomly choose clips, assemble them all, put them on tracks, offset them in time, create an arrangement, throw some chords in, and spit out a piece of music. Obviously, that's no fun. So, you know, there's got to be a certain level of control where you feel like you're doing something.
Fortunately, technology is making it easier than ever to add that human variation that makes music come alive. You've been listening to Digital Media Insider, the official podcast of the O'Reilly Digital Media site. Visit us at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. That's O-R-E-I-L-L-Y. And let us know what creative technologies you'd like to explore. Incidentally, I wrote this theme music using software that I learned about while editing articles for the site. See the show notes for links. For O'Reilly Digital Media, I'm David Bettino.